This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Let's bring in the great Rich Cimini. I don't throw the great like Don does, willy-nilly.
No, you save it.
No, I save it for someone who's actually great, and Rich Cimini is great. Knows the Jets better than anybody. I think he might know the Jets better than Joe Douglas. Let's put it that way. Certainly knows the history of the Jets more, and he covers the Jets for us at ESPN. Rich, how you doing, my friend?
It's always good for my ego when I come on with you, Mike. Thanks so much.
You got it.
The kind words.
All right. Do the Jets have a legitimate desire or chance, whichever way you'd like to go, for Deebo Samuel?
Desire, yes. I think the Jets have been interested in Deebo this entire offseason, and especially when he 1 week ago today announced that he wanted to be traded. So I think that interest remains there right up until now. However, the clock is ticking. You know, this is not an easy trade to do because you'd certainly want to sign him to a long-term contract before making that trade. And, you know, you would think they'd want to do this before the draft. And so we're down to, you know, 24-plus hours now. And so it's every minute that goes by, there's less chance of it happening. But I do think the Jets, in fact, I know the Jets are still interested.
And do you think they could do it without giving up the 10th overall pick? Or is that a fait accompli that if they're going to contend to get him, that that's going to be what they give up?
Well, that's certainly what you would think San Francisco would be asking for, Don. I think the Jets would probably offer what they offered to the Tyreek Hill situation, which is 2 2s and a 3. And you also have to be able to read the market. Like, who else is bidding for Deebo Samuel? Like, there's been reports that Green Bay and Detroit are also interested. You know, I don't think they're going to trade him to Green Bay, you know, for obvious reasons. You know, could Detroit put together a better package than the Jets if the Jets offer 2 2s and a 3? So, you know, the Jets don't want to be put in a position where they're bidding against themselves. So it's a very difficult decision for San Francisco to make. You just have to decide whether you think you can keep this player long term. And if not, then you're just going to have to take the best deal. So there's a lot of factors in play here.
Are they willing to give up on Mekhi Becton so soon after he was drafted?
You know, there's been so much speculation on that, Michael. People saying that he's going to be done with the Jets. I'm not so sure about that. I think what you have with the Jets, I think Joe Douglas really wants to keep him and make it work. He drafted Mekhi. It was his first draft pick 2 years ago. It was 11th overall. So we're not talking about a bottom of the first round player, 11th pick overall. I don't think the coaching staff has fully embraced Mekhi. You know, they inherited him. He gets hurt last year. He was out of shape in training camp last year. Once he got hurt, you know, he ballooned up to 400 pounds, I was told.
Wow.
And so I don't think the coaching staff has embraced him. And so will they trade him over the next few days? I think it's unlikely. I mean, the NFL, you never say never because anybody can get traded at pretty much any minute. But I really think they want to try to see if they can make it work with Mekhi.
Now, ultimately, it's their fault that they have to see when they make a draft pick, especially in the first round.
That's
but
right.
Did anybody see this coming, Rich? I mean, everybody felt like it was great. This great player fell to them at 11. It was celebrated around the league. Did anybody see in his past that Becton was capable of kind of just falling off the tree like this?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talk going into, you know, scouts at the time were saying this guy, you know, you got to watch his weight. You know, his weight had been up to like 385, 390 at Louisville. He was at the combine at 363, which was optimal. You know, that was, of course, these guys, all they do is train before the combine so they can, you know, because they know that's their money-making opportunity. So he was 363, and then I don't think he's seen – well, I take that back. Actually, he was at 360 when last season started. You know, he worked really hard with a nutritionist during the month of August last year. He cut a lot of weight, and then he went out and got hurt in the first game. So, yeah, there were warning signs, Don. I mean, it was out there that he's had a weight issue. And I hate to remind Jet fans, the player that got drafted right after Mekhi was Tristan Wirfs,
right,
an offensive tackle who's now like a perennial Pro Bowler with Tampa Bay. So that kind of adds to this thing a little bit.
Now, if they don't make the Samuel deal, who do you have them picking at 4? Who do you have them picking at 10?
Right now, I think Sauce Gardner, the corner from Cincinnati, is a very likely possibility at 4. He would be my guy in my current mock draft. I think that would be a need, of course. The Jets really need a corner, especially in the AFC East now. You got Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Stephon Diggs. You need to be strong on the back end. The Jets were not strong last year, to be kind about it. I think Sauce Gardner could be the choice at 4. I think it could be a choice between Sauce and Ike Ekwonu, the tackle between North Carolina State. The Jets love him. Joe Douglas is really high on him. But I think if it came out to be a choice between those two, I think they would lean toward Gardner. And then at 10, assuming no Debo, I think wide receiver is definitely a possibility there. A guy like Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, Drake London. And also keep an eye on Jermaine Johnson. He's the edge rusher from Florida State. I don't think the Jets would take him at 4, according to the people I've been talking to, but I think he would be very much a factor at 10.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So if they take an offensive tackle with one of the picks, does that mean that Becton is out? An offensive lineman, I mean. Does that mean he's out? Was that an indication that they're done with him?
Well, it's certainly not a good commentary on Mekhi's long-term future with the team.
Right.
That's for sure. I think they would probably shop him during the draft. Now, look, it's going to be hard to get a good trade for him. I mean, his value is low right now. He's coming off knee surgery. He's still rehabbing that injury from what I've been told. You know, he's got the weight issues, so you're not exactly going to get, you know, a great offer for him. What I think they would do initially is say, look, Joe Douglas loves depth at tackle. Last year they had basically 3 tackles they went into the season with. I would say they would tell us that Mekhi and George Fant are going to battle it out at one tackle spot, and then probably Ike Ekwonu would start at the other spot. And the loser becomes the backup swing tackle. That is how I think the Jets would present it.
I mean, they've got a lot of I think this could be a team-defining draft, don't you, Rich? I mean, you can't just look at this and go, it's another draft day. This, I think, could have ramifications for years. They have to hit on both of these picks.
Not only those two, Michael, but, you know, they have 35 and 38 as well. I mean, I do think this is I compared it into a story I did today to the 2000 draft where the Jets had 4 of the first 27 picks. And that was the Chad Pennington, Sean Ellis, John Abraham draft. And that basically became the foundation of 4 playoff appearances over the next few years. Those guys were very, very strong contributors. This has to be that draft for the Jets. You've got 4 in the first 38. This has to be the turnaround. You know, these have to be the guys that become, you know, your building blocks for the next few years. And of course, assuming Zach Wilson, you know, advances and becomes a good quarterback. So that's the other big question in the equation.
Because nothing else matters, right?
You're right. None of these picks matter if Zach Wilson stinks. So the Jets are confident that he'll be good. I thought, you know, Joe had an interesting comment the other day when he was talking to you guys. You know, he said, I 100% see greatness. And so, you know, the Jets certainly hope that's the case. And if that is the case, and then these picks turn out these next couple of days here with these draft picks, then the Jets are well on their way. But it is absolutely a defining draft for Robert Saleh and for Joe Douglas.
Now, before I let you go, I respect your opinion. You've seen all the quarterbacks come and go. I mean, do you agree with Douglas? Do you 100% see greatness with Wilson?
I do not. My jury's still out on Zach Wilson. I think he's got the tools. I think he's got a fantastic arm. He's got a better arm than his predecessors, Sam Darnold and Mark Sanchez and those guys. But he's just not consistent. I think he's got to learn to play within the structure of the offense. He was playing too much hero ball last year. And I think he learned that toward the end of the year, and he settled down and started playing more conservatively. But until I see it over a sustained period, I mean, think about it, guys. He had one really good game last year against Tampa Bay, and they lost at the last few seconds. He did not string together any games in a row last year where you could say, wow, you know, this is the guy. So until I see some sustained greatness, I'm not ready to proclaim as the next coming. You know, I think he's got all the tools. I think he's got the work ethic, but he's got to put it all together.
So you don't, it's not that you 100% don't see it. You just couldn't in good conscience say you 100% see it. Because let's be honest, besides Joe Douglas, Rich, no one could 100% see it. You could have hope. That's it.
Right. Well, I'm not a scout. I'm not Joe Douglas. He sees things I don't see. But I'm not ready to proclaim him a bust or a disappointment. I just have not seen it on a consistent basis. When I say consistent basis, I'm like 2 or 3 weeks in a row, you know, have not seen that yet. I think it's there. I think he was just so overwhelmed last year at the beginning of the year. He was not ready to be an NFL quarterback. And the Jets just hasted, hey, we're going to take our licks here and let him learn on the job. And so you just hope that pays some long-term dividends. And for their sake, I do hope it works out for them. But, you know, he's got a long way to go. I mean, if you look at the analytics, statistically, guys who have rookie years like the one he just had usually don't get a whole lot better. There are exceptions. Josh Allen in Buffalo was one of them, for sure. But statistically, guys like that usually don't get a whole lot better.
All right, Rich, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll talk to you after the draft as well. We appreciate your time, as always.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, that's Rich Samedi. You can read his stuff on ESPN.com. We'll talk Giants next. They've got two big picks as well in the first 10 picks of the draft, and also could be franchise-altering, and they've got a new GM and a new coach making those picks. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.